For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
Gerard, this was interesting. I'm looking at the comments going through here, and there are some pretty wild ones, I'll tell you that much. Some people were not happy about how the Colts played this year. so that, which is understandable. I get it. I understand, you know, as a Colt fan, you know. But at the same time, you just kind of have to, you know, sometimes every team has years like that, and you just got to basically take it in the mouth and move on, you know?
Well, all right. It happens.
Yep. Exactly. Moving on to the next week, let's go ahead and discuss the divisional round as that's coming up. And that's going to be huge. We got four games for the divisional round. I don't know, dude. Jacksonville at Kansas City. What do you think about that game?
I think Kansas City is going to remind people, you know, who they really are, you know, at the end of the day. It's been a lot of talk about Bills coming out of the AFC, Bengals going back and all that, and nobody really seemed to be talking about the Chiefs anymore. And I think, you know, this would be one of them games. I think Jacksonville will come to play, but everybody know how in January in Kansas City, the weather and all that type of stuff comes into play and how hard it is. And you know the fan base in Kansas City and how passionate they is. And you're talking about a Super Bowl winning team already that's eager to get back there and repeat. And I feel like Kansas City want the Bengals at the end of the day. I feel like they want to kind of revenge themselves off of how they ended last year and those type of things, and the whole Joe Burrow beats Mahomes when it matters, and you know, and all that type of talk. So I think they're going to take care of business versus Jacksonville, but it is the playoffs, and when you're hot and you got momentum, there is a chance that you can beat them. But I'm going to say that Kansas City is a mature enough football team to go out there and get the job done.
Yeah, Jacksonville can't give five turnovers to Kansas City.
Yeah, not versus Kansas City.
No, there will be no comebacks if Trevor Lawrence starts the day off with four picks. I mean, there just won't. You know, Patrick Mahomes and that offense will put points on the board.
Jacksonville defense though been playing lights out. So I do think Kansas City put points up, but I don't think it's gonna be. you know, points like you think, though. You know, I still think it'll be kind of a close ball game at the end of the day. I just don't think Kansas City just going to run away with it, but I do think they're going to take care of business.
Okay. I'm just, you know, surprised that Jacksonville started the season off the way they did and ended up making the not only making the playoffs, but getting an upset victory in the wild card round against the Chargers. That says a lot about this young Jacksonville Jaguars team being led by, you know, a Super Bowl winning experienced head coach, you know, coming in on his first year. That's my thought. It means that they're going to be a force for years to come in the AFC South.
I agree. They're going to cause some problems in these next coming years for sure. They're only going to get better.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you, though. I think the Chiefs win that game. Drop in here real quick and remind everybody that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from the NFL and the bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team up, matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to use that promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Giants at Philly. There's two games. I mean, really, all the games here are going to be good. This one, I think Philadelphia fans better get a little bit worried because, in all honesty, the Giants, you said it earlier, they're dangerous. Their backs are against the wall, but they don't have anything to really, you know, they don't have to prove anything. They can go out there and just play free because they weren't even supposed to be here.
Yeah, and it's tough playing against, like I said, it's tough playing against your own division. I mean, you got two games on film that you can go back and scout and look at yourself versus your opponent. And you know, normally, like you say, the Giants are coming off a victory. The Philly is coming off a bye week. So when you got that momentum and you're going into that stadium and you're familiar with your opponent and you're not scared of your opponent, you know, I'm eager to see how Philly start the game. You know, is they going to start hot and fast like how they normally start? Or are they going to look like they're coming off a bye week and they're trying to get that energy back going? I mean, we know how the Philly fan base is going to be. It's going to be that game right there will be one of the most fun games to watch just because of the hatred between the two. Eli Manning even said that, you know, he's going to be in the stadium and he vowed not to go back to Philly after he retired. And he said he has to be there. So that's probably the main game that I'm kind of eager and, you know, and can't wait to watch just because it's going to be a fun one. And the Giants, you know, if you want to, you know, put your name out there and make people respect you, you know, win this game and see how your offseason, you know, be, you know, whether you make it to the Super Bowl or not. It'll be a lot of people that'll be picking you to win the division next year and doing all those type of things to where now you got the target on your back. And Philly, it's just a matter of them just, you know, continuing to do what they do. They've been great all year long. Defense has been balling. Offense has been balling. Jalen Hurts has been playing lights out. So we'll see if they can stick to the script and do what they're supposed to do. But I think they'll face some adversity in this game because, like I said, it's a familiar opponent and it's tough to beat. You know, it's tough to beat guys three times in a row, you know, at the end of the day.
It is. And like you said, you know, I mean, Daniel is coming into his own right now. Dayball, I think, wins Coach of the Year for a reason. You know, so yeah, this is going to be an interesting matchup. To me, it's a coin flip. Eagles should win this game.
But, yeah, I got Philly winning it.
I feel like the Eagles should win, but I can't count the Giants out in this one at all. If the Giants pull this upset, it would not surprise me at all. Yep. Then we got the Sunday matchups. This is going to be something that I think we all have been waiting for the last 2 weeks, right? This is basically what we were hoping for when the DeMar Hamlin situation went down, right?
Yep.
Bengals, Bills. Your thoughts about this game?
Definitely it might be kind of emotional to start, just knowing how the last time these two teams got together and, you know, what transpired and what took place. So I'm pretty sure it might be, you know, kind of emotional. But once that ball's kicked off, you know, everything's on the line. You know, there's no tomorrow after that ball kicked off. You know, somebody's going to be advancing and somebody's going to be getting ready for a vacation. I think that the Bengals got a lot that they got to fix based off what we saw versus the Ravens. It's some things that they got to clean up. And Dolphins, it's some things that they got to clean up based off what we saw versus Miami. So I expect both teams to be better than they were the week before. But I'm going to say that I feel like the Bills is going to win this one just off of maybe Josh Allen, you know, playing the best game that he's possibly ever played in the playoffs. But I mean, with that killer over there with Joe Burrow on the other side, man, and the weapons that he got with Higgins and Chase and Boyd and, you know, all those guys mixing back there at the running back position, you know, if that offensive line holds up and give him some time to kind of dissect things, I mean, I think this one can be the high scoring game that we're kind of been waiting for. I think this one can go back and forth and come down to whoever has the ball last.
Well, I mean, definitely the two teams have incredible offenses. These are two teams that love to air it out, throw the football, get a lot of points on the board. But as of late, I'm seeing more defense played in the playoffs than I have been, you know, occasionally you'll get that Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen fourth quarter thing happen, you know, that we saw last year. But for the most part, I've been seeing a lot of defense and a lot of mistakes, you know, like last night, you know, holy crap, who would have thought that dude would have missed his first four extra points? Right. I mean, that kind of stuff sometimes really affects a player. Now, I don't think that's going to affect these guys because these guys have been in the playoffs. The Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals have been in the playoffs quite a bit over, you know, last year, obviously. But who knows? Who knows? It could happen to anyone at any time. Last game. Oh, boy. Cowboys and Niners. That's going to be a fun game. That's going to be interesting. Cowboys, their first, as you said earlier, first playoff victory since the 90s, I think, right?
Yeah, I think they said 94.
Yeah, wow. That was the year I graduated, guys, okay, from high school. I mean, my goodness, that's a long time ago. San Francisco Cowboys, thoughts on this game?
I think this would be the first time we see Brock Purdy under duress, under some pressure. I mean, you look at, you know, the Cowboys defensive line and what they did to Tom and those guys and kind of what they've been doing all year. I mean, they cause havoc up front. They're going to get to that quarterback. But when you look at, you know, San Francisco's offense and the scheme and, you know, how they set plays up, I mean, it's going to be one of those odd discipline type games to where the guys in the back end and the linebackers are really going to have to key on certain things to make sure that they are doing their jobs and their responsibilities. I mean, when you got Debo, you got to know where he's at everywhere on the field. Then you got Christian, you got to know where he's at everywhere on the field. Then you got Kittle, you got to know where he's at everywhere on the field. It's going to be one of those things to where our discipline and just responsible football from the defense of the Cowboys is going to have to be there. But when you talk about the Cowboys front four and the pressure that they bring without even having a blitz, I think that's going to be the key to the victory. If they can get Brock Purdy, you know, hit a couple times, sack here, sack there, and just cause some pressure from just not being able to have to blitz anybody, I think that's going to be the key to the victory.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do agree. I mean, Micah and Lawrence, they are two guys that can come in and really create havoc against young, inexperienced quarterbacks as Brock Purdy is. But again, we've seen that Purdy can make things happen with his feet too, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they come in and don't, you know, come in under control and keep containment, Purdy can extend that play, either run with it or hit somebody for a massive gain as well. So, you know, the Cowboys have to play under control, even when they are playing that four-man rush. So, I could see either of these two teams winning this game. I still think San Francisco wins it, though. I really do.
Gotcha. Yeah. I might agree with you on that, but I don't know. It's something about the Cowboys this year, and I'm not even the biggest Cowboy advocate, but for whatever reason, I think they make it to the NFC Championship. So I think I'm going to go with the Cowboys on this one.
Okay. Okay. Well, I can respect that. They're playing some of the best football from that we've seen in the NFL this year. So I absolutely agree that's something that we could possibly see, but you know, we didn't talk about the Niners defense and, you know,
yeah, top defense in the league. Yep.
What they could do against the Cowboys. I mean, that's not the same team. This isn't the Tampa Bay defense, you know? So, the Niners defense, I think, are going to cause problems, especially against the run game. Dallas loves to really use, you know, Pollard looked so good last night. Oh my goodness. We're running that football. He looked really good. I don't think he's going to have those big 10, 15 yard runs as often as we saw against the Niners though. I don't know, man. We're well into it. Anyone have any questions for Gerard? Feel free, drop them in the chat right now. I've been looking in here and.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not seeing a whole lot. What'd you think about seeing T.Y. in Dallas and playing the way he's playing over there with the Cowboys?
It's good to see my guy T.Y. out there, you know, still catching the ball and showing that burst and speed that he has. I think he's definitely going to have to kind of come up big. It's going to be one of these games, maybe this next one, to where he's going to make a big play or two that kind of change the outcome of the game. I mean, I think everybody – is, I don't want to say people forgot, but you know, when T.Y. stretches that field, I mean, it's a real threat. So I feel like that he's going to have a big catch in this next one that kind of solidify the game a little bit. He had some big catches last night on third down, but mm-hmm. I think he'll have some to where he stretched that field and remind people of that speed.
There you go. There you go. A lot of Colts fans would love to see that. There's a lot of people out there rooting for the Cowboys just because T.Y. is on that team right now, you know, and I understand that. I understand why that is. Your thoughts about C.J. Stroud and waiting till the last moment to declare for the NFL draft?
I don't think that was an issue. I think he kind of was weighing all his options. I mean, a lot of people got to realize these guys are making money right now, so – even though I know that it's life-changing money that he'll get in the draft, but at that same token, if you feel like, you know, you haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish personally at your school and you're thinking about coming back, you know, just to, you know, kind of do some more that you already had planned, I think you should definitely, you know, consider that option. I mean, you're talking about graduating, you're talking about trying to win the Heisman, win a national championship, get back to the Final Four, do all these type of things, because once you leave college, man, it's all business from there, even though it's a little business right now, but you're not going to have that same joy and that same bond and friendship with your teammates that you've been with for the past 4 or 5 years. Once you get in the league, every year is going, the roster is it's a turnover of guys in that roster every year. You got to learn new faces, new names, new coaches, new everything every single season. So I can definitely understand how some of these guys are really, you know, weighing their options and taking their time and making these decisions. Cause like I said, I mean, a lot of these guys are making millions, you know, right now they're making millions in college. So sometimes that money can wait a little bit if you feel like you haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish yet.
Absolutely. DS Goodmore has a good question in here. Says, what are your biggest wants? What do you think the biggest needs for the Colts are this draft and free agency?
Well, I feel like after they get a head coach, and kind of sort everything out on you know, priorities, which I think everybody know the quarterback position is the priority, but you just don't want to have your eyes set on one specific quarterback and then your head coach system or the offensive guys that he bring in and that quarterback don't match or don't fit. You don't want to be stuck, you know, in a situation where, you know, you got to develop another guy. I think you got to get a head coach, get a head coach, and figure out what system you're going to be running going forward and then make your picks, make your decision from there. I mean, obviously you got Stroud, you got Bryce Young, you got the possibility even trading up, you know, and with the Bears possibly and you know, going that route with Justin Fields. So you got a couple different options on the table. But I still don't feel like it's a quarterback in the draft that's just, you know, can't miss type prospect. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a bunch of these guys are going to be great, you know, great players, don't get me wrong, but I feel like a bunch of these guys are similar in that aspect to whether it don't matter if you get Stroud, Bryce, or the next guy, you're getting a pretty decent good quarterback at the end of the day. But I think you want to get the right one that fits whatever system is going to be, you know, your offensive system going forward.
Loyalist drops in here. Do you think the Colts turnaround is a one-year situation, or is it going to take multiple years to get back to where they were?
I don't think it's I don't think today's NFL is like a build up or we're rebuilding for multiple years or anything like that. I think it's a year-to-year basis in the NFL. I mean, we're talking about Jacksonville, who won what, three games last year? Or something like that, you know, and they're in the second round of the playoffs this year. So I don't necessarily believe that teams in today's NFL have time to develop or wait. You know, you want to get the right pieces into your building, into your organization right now. You want to win right now. There's not a team in the NFL that's saying, hey, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be great. You don't know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years, you know, at the end of the day. So I think you're trying to get the right pieces, the right coaches, the right systems, the right everything so you can win right away. I mean, the Giants, they only won, what, 4 or 5 games last year, and they're in the second round. I mean, you look at some of these teams, man, and it's overnight. It's about just getting the right pieces at the end of the day. I don't think you have time to build in today's NFL. Okay. In other aspects, yeah, like you can get a D lineman and say, hey, this is a development type thing. You can get a backer. You can get something like that. But there's not a GM or owner saying, hey, in 3 or 4 years, this team's supposed to be here. No, these owners want to win right now. These GMs want to win right now. So it's just about getting the right pieces and making it work.
Okay.
My opinion.
Yeah, great answer. I think that was a really good question, too. You know, I think it is something that, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, owners are all good about, you know, a complete teardown and rebuild of a team. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's something that's going to happen with the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, we still have our GM, right? So that speaks volumes on where Irsay is thinking when it comes to, you know, his team and what he wants to go with. He still has faith in Ballard and the way he's been building this team. He just, you know, got to retool, got to find those, especially
the right
that quarterback.
Yeah.
Right.
And I then mean, obviously, and, yeah. I mean, obviously everybody know if you don't have a quarterback in this league, it's impossible. It's impossible to win. I mean, I don't care how good your defense is. It's not the 1990, what was it? 6 Ravens or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are throwing the ball like Tom Brady threw the ball over 50 times last night. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, of course, they didn't play well or they didn't get it done, but it don't matter how good your defense is. I mean, it's week to week to where you can get beat. You need an offense. You need a quarterback to win games. And, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, you got to reload. You can't necessarily think rebuild.
Absolutely. And I just want to say something. Ancient Atomic Immortality, he says 5 years ago, Luck retired, so you know what that means. He still drafted a guard 6th overall, skipped on Hurts, skipped on Deebo Samuel, skipped on AJ Brown, skipped on DK Metcalf. I can tell you right now, every team in the NFL skipped on every single one of those players.
I mean, okay, all those
it's
guys,
not just the Colts.
Yeah, but and all those guys turned out to be great players, but you don't know who's gonna turn out at that moment. I mean, Jalen Hurts had just lost his job to Tua, had to go to Oklahoma, get better as a passer, and he did all those type of things. So it was a matter of Jalen Hurts finding somebody who believed in him. It wasn't like Jalen Hurts was walking around saying, I'm the best quarterback here, like I'm a can't-miss type prospect. Jalen Hurts went to the Eagles and is in a great situation for him. You mm-hmm. look at the pieces that's around him, you look at the defense, you look at the system, everything fits what Jalen Hurts was bringing to the table. Let's say Jalen Hurts came to Indy, it might not have worked out. It just might not have worked out. You just never know. DK Metcalf came to Indy and we don't have a quarterback. What's the difference in him and Pittman? It might not have worked out. So all these guys that we're talking about went into situations to where it kind of benefited the team that they were selected by. I mean, Seattle was looking for a number one receiver, big time player. They had just lost some guys, you know, from the years past that decided to retire and step away and do all those type of things. So all those guys went into situations that was great for them. Debo Samuel was doing the same thing he's doing now in San Francisco and South Carolina. System and everything. They were using Debo Samuel as a running back, as a wide receiver, and all those type things. If you're drafting Debo to your system and you don't have that system to fit Debo, you're wasting his talent, you know, at the end of the day. So a lot of times, you know, we see what these guys are doing now and say, I can't believe that our GM didn't select this or do that. I mean, how you win games is having a great offensive line and a great defensive line, first and foremost. If you don't have a good offensive line or a good defensive line, it's going to be hard to block anybody and it's going to be hard to stop anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to build from, you know, the trenches and up. And once you got your trenches in place, now you can go into the draft saying, I need the best skill guy available. Like, we got guys that can block. We got guys that can get to the passer and all that. Now I'm looking for the best player, period, to come in and just add to what we already have. So, you know, sometimes fans, you know, you can look at, you know, some of these players, you know, they're 3-4 years in now and see what they're doing and be like, I can't believe we missed out on this guy or did that. But at the moment when it was happening, you didn't know these guys were going to turn out that way.
No, and again, you brought up, there's a couple things I want to get to with what you're saying here. Just because he's a player successful on one team, like you said, does not necessarily mean he's going to fit in the scheme and the players and the coaching of another team. That's no more evident than what happened with Russell Wilson this past season, right? I mean, right. That's big situation.
I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
The year before, he looked horrible mm-hmm. with Urban Meyer and everything. Then all of a sudden, you get a whole new staff, and you're looking at Trevor Lawrence like, oh, my gosh, he might be – you know, top 10 quarterback next year, you know, like, oh, now I see the arm they were talking about. Oh, now I see the athletic ability and all these type of things that, you know, got him drafted number one. You know, everything matters in the NFL when you're talking about making things work. And it's from top down, the right GM, the right head coach, the right assistants, the right system, you know, everything matters.
Absolutely. And you sitting here talking about earlier, you were a former defensive back in the NFL, and you just hammered down on Ballard's philosophy, build in the trenches. That's the most important part. I think that speaks volumes on how important it is to get talent up front on both sides of the football.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, you have to. What did the Bengals do after their run last year? They went mm-hmm. and tried to fix their O-line immediately. That's what they're mm-hmm. not saying that they got the right pieces or whatever. But when you look at the decisions that was made, they were like, hey, we got to fix our O-line like right now. Like, we got to protect our prize and the prizes around us. So if you ask any GM or owner across the league, they're going to tell you, like, it starts up front. I mean, you can have the best. I mean, Andrew Luck. I mean, one of the reasons why Andrew Luck probably retired at the end of the day, he almost got killed. I mean, every week he was taking a beating. You know, I saw him as a rookie, you know, being his teammate, like, man, I don't know if he's going to get up from this one or get up from that one. Like, some of the shots that he was taking, like, you have to build from the trenches and up, you know. So if you don't got anybody to protect these guys, I mean, even Joe Burrow last year, we thought that he wasn't going to get up a couple times after a few of those shots. So, I mean, you got to have at least an average O-line, D-line to even compete, you know. So say that you have an elite O-line, D-line, it makes everything else around you a lot easier.
Well, 2 years prior, you know, a year prior to that, we know after Mahomes got annihilated in the Super Bowl, right? What'd they do? They went out there and spent everything they had on the offensive line to give Patrick Mahomes time and be able to run that football.
Yep.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Last question here before we end up going. Do you want a young, dynamic, offensive-minded or defensive-minded head coach, I guess, or an experienced? You want a young or an experienced head coach?
If you get a young head coach, you just got to have some experienced coaches around him. You got to think these young guys bring a different type of energy to your locker room and to your team, you know, and sometimes that's needed, especially in today's game and how some of these kids now are coming into the league. You know, they're used to the younger coaches, even from college. You know, it's more young coaches around the college game now just because they can relate better to some of these kids. And I'm not saying that you don't need an experienced coach. Yeah, I mean, if you got an experienced coach that checks the boxes that you think that's needed to be a head coach and lead your organization, by all means, let that experienced coach come in and do it. I mean, we see Doug Peterson and what he's doing with a young team in Jacksonville. They needed a veteran style coach that knows what he's doing and been around the block, you know, in the NFL to lead these guys. And then when you look at maybe the coach situation, you know, you got some veterans in your room. You got, you know, a good mix of veterans and a good mix of young players that, you know, maybe you just need somebody that's maybe that can relate to both, whether it's a young guy or a veteran guy, you know. So I'm not against either. You know, it's just a matter if you get a young experienced coach that haven't been a head coach before, let's just say D'Amico Ryans, you expect that it be some offensive assistants and defense assistants around him that's more of the veteran style type coaches to kind of help him navigate some of the challenges that you have as a head coach.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this live stream. I appreciate everybody that's been in here. Please, if you have a moment, smash that like button and subscribe if you're not subscribed. Gerard, as usual, man, I appreciate you coming on, hanging out, talking, answering questions. Love picking your mind. You have a great football mind, and I love your, you know, I respect everything that you bring to the table. Thanks again, man.
Appreciate you.
I'm Lawrence Owen. That was Gerard Powers, Rodney McLeod. This was Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Do you believe?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.